What's up, everybody? We're back. PS Live Sessions. We're on two phones right now. I am on the PS Live Sessions page. Miss Never On Time over here is on her personal page, and we're also on our YouTube Live.
This is terrible.
Just in case, which most likely will happen, the Instagram goes off. You can go to the link in the bio and check us out on our YouTube Live, which is going on right now also, if you want to go watch that and not have to see split screens or whatnot. But what's up, Trish?
Nothing. This has been a very long time.
It's been a while.
Since I've done this.
It's been a while.
I feel like a rookie. Like, this is my first episode or something.
Yeah. Hey, man. Welcome back.
Fuck you.
Just so y'all know, it ain't ever been me. I'm always ready to go.
Okay, yeah, it has been on me. Sorry. Okay. I'm finally getting it back together.
Yeah.
You know, my therapist has been helping me.
That's good.
They're going through some shit.
Okay.
So, you know, that's for another time. So today, I wanted to talk about attachment theory. And really, it's attachment theory is like, why are you picking who you're picking in your relationships? What factors contribute to your anxiety, the avoidance, the fear when it comes to the people that you're connecting with? Mm. So have you ever heard of attachment theory?
No, not until you told me about it.
So did you do any research prior to this?
A little bit, not too crazy. You know how I do. I skim. I'm a skimmer.
Okay. So I'm going to start off. So this was back in the 1950s.
Yep.
A psychologist.
Why don't you tell them where you got this from? Like, what? Because you made me listen to it. So they might as well, you know, get the info too.
Okay. So I listened to an episode of The Friend Zone,
which is a great
podcast out in New York. And they had did a whole episode around attachment theory. So a lot of the information tonight will be pulled from that. And, you know, we'll go from there. So in the 1950s, there was a psychologist who created the learning and behavioral theory of attachment. So the basis of this theory was that babies formed attachments to whoever they came in contact with that fed them.
Okay.
So it didn't matter if it was a mom, a dad, an aunt, or uncle, they would form that attachment due to food. That was his theory.
All right.
And he was kind of like, you know, babies are smart after being like repetitive. If they cry, scream, you know, or laugh and whoever they interact with, that they're going to sort of have this condition to know that, like, yo, if I cry or do this, I'm going to get that, which is obviously true.
Yeah, definitely.
In 1958, a psychoanalyst took it a bit further. And he said that through his research of the effects of separation between infants and their parents, that children did not come into this world trying to figure out how to get a secure attachment.
Okay.
They came in biologically pre-programmed to form attachments with others. So like, we already just kind of from birth already know that we're gonna do this. This is not something that we learn. And then he went on to state that there's a critical time period for the attachment of developments in children. So it's between 0 and 5 where this development happens or it doesn't happen.
Okay.
And the primary attachment provides a secure basis for exploring the world and acting as a prototype in all future relationships and personal connections.
Okay.
So if you didn't develop this in that time frame from 0 to 5 years old, there was a chance that the child would suffer irreversible developmental consequences and reduced intelligence and aggression.
Okay, repeat that again for us. Because you kind of lost me a little bit.
Okay, so I'm going to start over. So Bowlby, in 1958,
yeah,
did a research on the effects of separations from parents and their infants.
Okay.
Okay. His theory is that children do not come here into this world learning how to acquire food. Like, they don't come here learning like, yo, the only way I'm going to survive is through food, and whoever gives it to me, that's who I'm going to attach myself to.
Okay.
That was not his concept at all. He said that you come into this world biologically pre-programmed to form attachments and connections.
Yep.
So if you're, it's more about receiving care and being responsive from the adults, which are more important than achieving the goal of getting food. So he's saying that it's a critical time period between 0 and 5 where you form that attachment with those people, you form that nurturing. So like parents, mothers, yeah, fathers and stuff, right? And he said that that sort of is the prototype for children to have future relationships and personal connections with others. And he's saying that if you don't develop this in that time frame, that you will suffer irreversible developmental consequences and reduce intelligence and aggression.
I get it now.
Are you following?
I'm following.
Our viewers following? You guys all get it?
I'm following now.
So I'm going to ask you this. Do you remember anything from 0 to 5, like with like attachments to your mom or your dad or like just your childhood in general?
I thought about this when you asked me and I realized I can't trust my memory.
Okay.
Because a lot of it, a lot of it was before, like before I came to America. In that time frame, I don't know if the stuff I have in my head is made up or not.
Okay.
Because just, you know, when I think about it, it's like I did all of this before I was 7. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Give me an example of like what you mean I did like, all of this before I was like, 7.
My mom used to tell me that at the age of like 3 or 4, I was going to the barracks, which is where my uncle used to use the chief of all the cabs back home. Okay. And I was a 3-4-year-old just hanging with the OGs, just running around doing what I wanted to do and shit like that just before I even came here. So
well,
I was like,
different in Africa.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't, it's her words and my memory for me and the things that I thought about at that age is like, this is impossible for a 5-6-year-old to be doing. Because I don't see 5-6-year-olds doing that now.
But do you remember that at all? Like when she says it, does it trigger any type of memory to you of like doing that?
I remember I had a one-leg friend.
Okay.
And we used to run a block together. That's that is very vivid. That is very vivid.
Okay.
He never goes away. The motherfucker is always there. Every time I like try to think about my past, is like he's there.
Okay.
So I know I'm like, okay, so that's not a figment of my imagination, at least to me now. Like he's not a figment of my imagination. So everything else, a lot of the stuff that I did, I didn't really have too much. I've always had attachment issues because I was kind of just left. I was always like, okay, well.
But are you leaving or were your parents like?
I was always leaving.
Okay.
Yeah, I was never like, if I felt like somebody acting a certain type of way, I just kind of did.
Okay.
And I'm still the same way now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if your parents acted a certain way, you would leave?
I guess be like, yeah, I'm out.
Okay, so this was not between 0 and 5.
This is between 0 and 5.
Shola,
I'm dead ass. That's what my mom told me. This is what my mom told me.
Where are you going at 5?
I used to just run the block. I'm dead ass. Well, back home, kids at that age, to this day, just run amok. Like, once you become part of the neighborhood, you kind of just run around. Like, you literally just move around your neighborhood. And everybody knows you. And everybody knew me. Because my uncle my uncle ran the taxi cabs and everything. My family was known also.
Okay.
So I always was in and out all the time.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what I was told, man.
That is interesting. Okay. So after all of that happened, a few years later, another psychologist named Harry Harlow came up with an experiment.
Okay.
And
wait, before we continue, what about you? You don't remember nothing?
Yeah, I do. I remember a lot.
Well,
actually.
Well, let the people know. You're trying to just bring it on me. Like, hold on. You had a childhood too.
You didn't ask, so
I just
like,
realized.
I'm gonna keep going.
No, you got it. My bad. Go ahead. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Mondays with my mom. Okay. So I think either my daycare was closed or she made sure to take Mondays off, so I spent time with her. So a lot of our bonding happened that way. I remember her always making pancakes on Mondays. That was like our thing for breakfast. And then we would sit down and she would talk to me and all of that stuff. Saturdays was me and my dad and we would go riding bikes at Franklin Park.
Okay.
So we would go to the zoo, check out the exhibits and all that stuff. And then we would go and, ride bikes. I remember a lot of like mischiefs that I probably shouldn't have been getting into that I was getting into. But like even till this day, like if I tell my dad, "Hey, you remember this?" He's like, "How do you remember that? You were so small." So like I remember I remember like flashes of things too, but I can't tell you if I was like 2 or 5 or like,
okay.
But like, I remember, like, I can remember that far back.
Damn. My memory is trash, bro.
Well, we know why it is now. We won't disclose that information.
Yeah, it's trash, bro.
So yeah, like I was saying, so later on in that year, a psychologist named Harry Harlow, he wanted to take it a step further with his Harlow experiments. And he wanted to kind of see what the love and relationship between parents and children were.
Okay.
And he tested it on monkeys. So people might actually know this experiment if you've taken a psychology class. What he did was he would separate the infant monkeys from their mothers within hours of giving birth.
Okay.
They were then provided surrogate mothers. One was a barbed wire mother, and the other one was a soft, like, terry cloth mother.
Okay.
They both provided milk.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
So his concept here is trying to, like, demolish the fact that we only come in here for just food. That's what he wanted to demolish. So he made one barbed wire and the other one terry cloth. And what happened was the monkeys were given the chance to pick who they wanted to sort of interact with, who they wanted to associate themselves with.
Okay.
Okay. Majority of the monkeys always chose the terry cloth mother.
Pussies. Okay.
Why is that pussy?
She's running because she's soft, son. Come on, nigga.
She's nurturing. That was the whole purpose of the experiment, to show that it's being.
I get it.
So that proved the first psychologist completely wrong, that it has nothing to do with just being provided food. Like, it shows a sense of security.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the second experiment, Harlow took it a step further. He then took a group of monkeys in group A with the barbed wire mom and a group of monkeys in group B with the terry cloth mother.
Mm.
What he did was then he provided sort of like a disturbance of peace. So he would have like a lot of blanging, clanking going on, and wanted to see the reactions of the monkeys and what they would do. The terry cloth monkeys would find comfort in the mother. Like, they would just go behind her or feel secure, just like stand next to her and feel like much better about the situation.
Yeah.
The barbed wire monkeys.
Wilding out.
Exactly.
Wilding.
So they were screaming, rocking, couldn't self-soothe themselves, didn't know what to do, were in a frenzy the entire time. So through the experiment, it was shown that the groups showed two different behavioral tendencies. So when, So this proved Bowery right.
Okay.
Okay, that it's all about the nature stuff, right? The nurturing stuff. Then an intern came in and was like, yo, let's turn this up a little bit. Like, let's move away from monkeys and actually try with humans. They were not separated at birth right away.
That's not what happened. That's wild.
But what they did was they wanted to focus on humans and sort of just see the separation between the child and the parent. So what they would do is they would take their kids and put them in a room and then have the parents step out.
Okay.
And they just wanted to observe the kids and see like what they would do. And so they realized that the kids had three different behaviors. So first group of kids, when they were left alone, they would cry, but eventually soothe themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They would find a book to go play with or crayons or something like that. And then when the parents came back, they were super excited, engaged and happy that they came back into the room.
Yep.
The second group freaked out when the parents left and freaked out the entire time. Like, could not self-soothe themselves, could not sit down and go play with the book, could not read or like do crayons and nothing, like cried the entire time. And those types of children, Lord be with them.
Lord be with them.
And then the third group, which I feel like you fell in that bucket, didn't do shit. Like, did not care if the parents left or not, did not care if they were there. They kind of were just stone cold to the situation altogether.
Yeah, sounds like me. That sounds like me.
So the intern and psychologist wanted to dive deeper and figure out, like, why there were so many different reactions. So this is where the attachment style theory came from. So from those three reactions, it's how we develop the style theory that we have today as adults.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each one of them as an adult,
okay.
But then I'm gonna bucket it back into the kid that you probably were at the time, which makes you like this style theory.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So Before we,
someone say what's up to everybody. Thank you for joining. You know, talking about the attachment theory. People have been joining in, so I just want
to. I usually can wave, but we just don't have the time today.
Yeah.
So before we move on, what style theory were you?
Secure.
No, fool. As a kid, the three ones that I just gave you.
Oh, the one that was cold hearted.
So you just didn't care if your mama or daddy left?
Nah, I didn't.
From 0 to 5, if your parents left the room, you didn't do nothing?
Nah, I didn't do nothing. I've always been like that.
Okay.
Well, I've always been like
that's
that.
That's a little crazy.
Always been like that.
Okay, well, I was the one that would cry, but then figure out how to, like...
Yeah, because you gotta go through the emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that was kind of shady.
Yeah, how was that shady? So you still like that now.
Which is exactly why I think it was kind of shady.
It's not shady. That's who you are.
Yo.
That's why I be like, oh, she's going through the shit with me over here, yo.
Anyway, yes, I was able to sell suits, but I realized that, like, in doing that, I was a little bit of a loner. Because it was like, I can be okay with just like playing in the corner with this toy or like read this book or whatever. I didn't really need to interact with other people.
Yeah.
But I was like pretty much the first group. So here we are at the part that we're trying to get to today, which is the style theory. So the first one is secure style attachment. 50% of the population is in this bucket. I'm not really sure how.
I don't believe none of them niggas either.
But this is what they say. People with secure attachments feel okay being in a relationship and okay being alone. Though they generally choose to be in a relationship, they like needing someone as well as being needed themselves. Secure attached people find ways to be independent in their relationship while still maintaining a strong sense of intimacy. Even though they can be jealous at times, they generally trust and relax about the connection they are building or built with someone.
Okay.
People with secure attachments hold a strong image of their partner and of themselves.
Okay.
So this group constantly had their needs met as a child. So, and they always felt secure. They were self-sufficient. These are the group of kids who can easily communicate with others. So they have a high emotional intelligence.
Okay.
They're not passive aggressive. And, they're problem solvers and resilient.
Okay.
So the second style is anxious preoccupied. People with anxious attachments think highly of their partner, prospective partner.
Okay.
But base a large part of their own self-worth on whether they're getting approval, attention, and responsiveness from their partner.
Sound like all the women.
Excuse me.
Sound like all the women in the world.
This attachment style is associated with being too clingy, demanding, overanalyzing, and feeling like you're always the one to initiate conversations about where the relationship is going because you already feel like the partner is going to leave.
Wow.
When faced with rejection, this attachment style typically runs towards the source of rejection like a moth to a flame.
Mm.
So this group needs constant reassurance that their partner is here to stay, not going anywhere, confirm that they love them. Because as children, this nigga just said this sounds like women too. Fuck
all
you.
Women, yo.
Fuck you.
All women.
Fuck
all
you.
Well, there are some niggas now. There are some niggas now too.
Okay.
So,
okay. Yo, fuck y'all. Because as children, their needs weren't always met.
No children's needs was ever met.
So their parents are inconsistent. So they don't know how to gauge like being in real relationships or connections with people because they're not sure like, are they going to stay? Are they going to leave? Because like I had that happen. There's parents who leave and you have no idea when the fuck they're coming back. And then when they come back, it's like for a quick second and then they gone. Like you know that.
You right. Mine did.
I have someone in my mind, but I love her so much that I'm not gonna say her name.
Yeah, my pops did.
But
yeah.
So as adults, they reenact this wound and go for partners who are emotionally unavailable. Do you think you did that?
Did I go for people who are emotionally
for your partner to be, who's unemotionally unavailable?
Nah.
Okay.
Most of the women I deal with are pretty emotional.
This is the bucket you're in. She know my son's mom. This what? bitch assness is spreading. So
what's going on?
Yo,
follow
I
YouTube
can't.
Guys. We're also on IG Live, so that's why she's looking at her phones and stuff
I'm looking crazy right
now.
This is the bucket I think you sit in.
Okay.
Dismissive, avoidant. People with this predominant attachment style think highly of themselves and often express a high desire for independence. They might downplay the value of romantic connections and view people who express a need for romantic companionship as insecure or not self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
When faced with rejection, they distance themselves almost immediately from the source of the rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So this group, parents were just a bit like unavailable emotionally, period. They weren't there physically or emotionally or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they learn how to soothe themselves growing up. They learn how to take care of themselves, which is why they're self-sufficient and they look down on people who can't do the same. Mm-hmm. Because they learn how to like, yo, I got to figure out how I'm going to feed myself, how I'm going to clothe myself, how am I going to get around.
It gives us a backbone.
Right.
Yeah.
However, they enjoy being in relationships. Like they don't mind getting into them, but they avoid when the honeymoon phase is over. Once you start to feel like, yo, shorty getting a little
that's when you stop fucking up. Yeah, I gotta find an exit.
That's me. That's me.
I gotta find an exit, yo. Shorty wildly right now. Too much.
They associate this group of people with ghosting, finding humor as a way to like not have to get deep with the person. So like whenever it's time to have a conversation, they're like goofing off instead of trying to have an important conversation. But it's not like they don't want to be loved. They just were never taught it or received it. So
they don't know how to do it.
So the world kind of thinks they're cold.
People are saying some shit. What they saying?
Some facts like women who not attached say that, fuck you. I don't even want to talk to you right now. Can you get off the live, please? Anyway, the last attachment style is fearful avoidant. So this is a combination of the dismissive one and the avoidant style.
Yep.
So this group both wants and doesn't want a close romantic connection. More specifically, they like are marked by a strong desire for a lasting loving partnership, as well as a distrust of their partners at the same time. So they're on a roller coaster. They're like, yo, I really want to be with this person, but I don't know. They might fuck with me. They might fuck with me, and I'm not really trying to do that, but I want. So it's like constantly they're back and forth. That sounds like what?
Everything that's going on right now and in the world of dating. That's what I'm seeing.
Which is why I'm not in it.
Mm.
So there's that on that. So these styles can change over time through experiences, through different connections that you have as you grow as a person, you know, and you work on yourself.
Okay. Then I'll say this. I have been all of those.
Yeah, I think everyone has a little bit and piece of that.
Exactly.
Because I'm very much the secure.
I'm secure now. Yeah.
But I also am very the dismissive avoidant too. I'm like, I love. It's so fun. Then I'm like, you're getting serious, bro.
You love. I'm not a fan of loving love at all.
Why?
That's love just is, wild crazy. So I don't like the way
that's why is love wild crazy?
It's just too it's I feel like I'm not in control now.
Because you're in love?
Yeah.
Like I mean, I'm not going to lie. Love makes you do crazy things.
See, that's where I take control. When I start seeing my certain behaviors and I'm going out of character for myself, I pull that shit right back. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing any of that. Nah, I can't. I just can't do it. Because now...
Are you scared of someone having your heart?
I mean, my shorty got my heart now. But when I was younger, I wasn't giving in 100% to y'all. Hell the fuck no. No way I'm not giving y'all that shit, man. Why in the world would I play myself like that? I don't trust y'all hoes.
Controller.
What? It's
so, you're, so you're telling me outside of your wife, you've never been in love? Like, in love. Like, you've loved people.
I love people, but I can now say, no, that was never me being in love. Because I was always prepared for them, to do all the things.
Okay, so then that means you were the anxious preoccupied.
How was I anxious? I was anxious.
That group is the group that was like they're going to leave, but I don't know if they're going to come back. So they're like, they're anxious. So growing up for you in your 20s, then that means you were an anxious, preoccupied person. Like when it came to your connections with other people, because you were already prepared for them to leave or fuck up for them to leave or for you to leave.
Oh, I've always been ready for them to leave. Oh, I never saw nobody staying. I'm surprised you stayed.
You have the fucking lie so I can talk
I'm
to
surprised,
her.
Yo, I legit be like, oh, you staying? Oh, all right. I'm trying, but.
So out of the women back then and now, like, what has been the difference? Like, what has made it a difference for you to be like, nah, I'm in love with this one?
She's consistent.
Okay.
The others
are not. So that's important to you, the consistency.
Yeah. Consistency. Yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
So let's discuss your results. So you had secure attachment.
Yeah.
And what did you think about that? Did you think that was true? That wasn't true? Like.
Yeah, when I was taking the test, I realized the way I was answering is based off of how I would react, obviously.
Right.
Like, one of the questions was, oh, What was it? Let's say your partner was going to a wedding and they didn't invite you or something
like that. Yeah.
Like, would you get mad? Or would you throw a fit? Would you ask them, is it a plus one? Or would you be like, word, I got time to myself? And I was like, oh, I got time to myself.
I got time to myself, nigga.
Word, you
I
just.
Shit, nigga, I ain't got to get ready to.
Word, I got to money on an outfit. I don't got to get a suit. I don't got to do nothing. Enjoy yourself. Peace. Nigga, you know what I mean? I got time for all that shit, man. You know, I realize that I don't care if, like, okay, like the other one, one other question was, what if your partner's ex was coming to town or whatever? Like, would you care?
Right.
And I was like, no. If they let me know, I would say, okay, cool, and keep going about my day.
Right.
That's literally how I am. Like, I'm not thinking about it. You told me. What else am I going to do?
I mean, there's people who wouldn't be okay with that.
I don't control you. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Okay, so there's no ego involved.
Nah.
No, that's why I fucks with you, yo.
Yeah.
Because you one of the niggas that ain't got the egos involved.
Nah, I'm all you, your own person. You do what you got to do. You do what you got to do, ma. I'm chilling. I ain't worried about it. So
you believe that these attachments are true?
Yeah, like, but I
they
also...
They make sense.
They make sense, yeah. But I also believe because of human trait, we still have all the others in us to a certain degree.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So this question I didn't prep you for because I wanted to ask you on the spot.
Okay.
So you have 3 kids.
Uh-huh.
Do you see these styles in them now? And just because you still have one that's in that critical development stage, but you have 2 that are very much out of it. So how, you know, thinking back now, like if you were to leave either one of them like in a room, what would their reaction be? Like, what bucket do you think they'd fall into?
Oh, no, they're pretty self-sufficient. Even Elijah now, like, he's pretty cool. He'll just stop playing. I mean, if it's somewhere he doesn't know, he's going to be quiet for a minute. He'll cry. He might even cry a
little
bit.
He's going to shed a tear.
He might even cry a little bit.
He's going to shed a tear.
You know, but he'll calm down and go find something to do.
Right.
So that's him. Azealia... She's a firecracker. I don't know what she's going to do.
Okay, so she must be the up and down.
I don't know. But that's mainly because of I see her at home. But then when she goes to school, she doesn't give a fuck. Even the first day of school, she had a blast. You know
like the first time she's ever attended school.
Yeah. Like, okay. She was excited, all of that shit. And she was ghost mode.
Okay, you know she was saying? Secure.
Yeah. And Johnny is, I think, the most anxious one. Because she's,
really?
Yeah, Johnny's the most anxious one. Yeah.
Wow, I wouldn't have thought that.
Cause she cares a lot about she says she loves your hair.
Thank you.
Jamila. She cares what how people view her. She's getting older though. So she's going through that phase of
she would
walk up to people or she walks up to people now and everything. So but she's still very like shy. Like, she'll shy away a little bit just to get a gauge of the situation.
So do you feel like after learning these styles and sort of kind of like parents leaving the room and sort of the reaction of the kids, like, where do you think you and your wife fall into that? Together?
That's a tough one.
Because you are always going,
I'm
you in and out.
Yeah, I'm still a very individualistic person. you know, I still have those traits in me where, but I also know that if I don't, what?
She's an
empath. Empath?
Yes, empath.
I don't know what an empath is, but all right. Okay. I don't know what empath is.
She's talking about a Johnny.
Yo, okay. I know what empathy means, but I don't know what empath means. So you have to explain that, Dimila. I don't know what that means. But how do I put this? I'm still very individualistic.
Okay.
Like, I can still go by myself all day, every day, and not stress. You know, she's more in tune with me around.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Which is not a bad. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
Not a bad. I'm not saying like she. I'm not saying that she relies on me or anything like that. But she likes my. She likes me around.
Okay.
Like if I like when we went away. That was the first time in a while.
Y'all were so cute. You kept calling her and shit. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, that was the first time that, you know, we've been separated for more than a day, really. You know, it's only I always come back home. This is the first time in almost a couple years that I wasn't coming home. It was only for one night.
It was one night, though.
One night.
Calm down.
It was one night. You know, but you saw her, so, you know, she called me, I called her. You know, we're FaceTiming and all that stuff, which is actually the first time I've ever done that. I've never called my partner who I was with. I never used to do that. Like all the shorties I used to talk to, anything, I never checked in, I never called them, I never texted, none of that stuff. Like, if I was out, I was out. You see me when I get back. You know what I'm saying? If they text me, I might respond like, yeah, oh, we're here. You know, I wasn't that type of guy. You know, but with her, I don't mind giving her that. I feel like she can get that. She can get that from me. So, yeah, that's. Don't look at me like that. What
I'm
you
like,
want?
That's kind of crazy.
What?
But I mean, I dig it. I get it.
I mean, how about you? You mean the persons you used to deal with? You know, how were you with them?
Well, I did get secure attachment too.
Yeah.
As my result. And I don't know, I just feel like when I'm with someone, I feel like it's so much work. I have to just be honest right now.
No, let's be, okay, everybody.
I have to be honest right now.
I have to let y'all know how this woman is when she's in tune with somebody, like she's dealing with somebody, okay? Let me just let y'all know before she tries to fabricate bullshit, okay? Okay, so let y'all know. Okay.
I want to hear this too, so go ahead.
One, she's a Capricorn, but she is not the head of the Capricorn, which I am, which is why I am the way that I am.
Nigga, I am not the fish.
She is the other half, which is close to where the heart is. So a lot of emotions. It's a goddamn roller coaster ride. You know what I'm saying? It's tumultuous. Okay, it's a hurricane storm.
Hold on.
All that shit.
No,
if you're digging somebody, Trish, when you're digging somebody, first of all, when you see them, everything's red on your face and your body. Okay, you can't even hide it. That person knows they got you. You just give them the whole thing.
Because I love love.
Exactly.
I love the honeymoon phase of love.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm both the fish and the goat, my nigga.
No, you're the goat. Only when you start seeing funny money shit. That's the only time you start doing that. Other than that, you are the fish their entire way. A nigga can milk you their entire way.
No, sure, you see me interact with one dude that I was digging. That doesn't mean that's been every single person prior to
so
that.
So with the nigga you were with for like 5 years, a Harlem nigga, how were you with him when y'all first started?
What you mean? Like, be a little bit more specific.
What I just said, were you like that with him too?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
So what difference?
I was digging him a lot, but okay. I don't think it was the same as like what you experienced.
Well, you're older now too, so your emotions are probably more like younger. Trish was a wild card. You know what I'm saying? Now you're trying to be mature and be a lady. You know, so it's just like, you know, if I was to talk, be honest. I know what I was doing back then. You know what I'm saying? So now it's like, okay, I can understand why when I see you with someone that you like, you're like, okay, listen, my nigga, we don't have time to be doing all this extra shit. I really do like you, which is cool. Which is cool. But to me, you're not cautious enough anymore.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? You're kind of just like, you want that, especially when you like them. And then when they don't give it to you.
It's just like, I like the challenge.
No, yeah, right? But most niggas ain't really trying to do all of that.
Do all of what?
You like the challenge, the chase. That's still a thing that you fuck with. Yeah.
And then once I get it, I'm like.
Yeah, but with the nigga that we're talking about.
Well, nigga, that was supposed to be my baby daddy, my husband, like down to the motherfucking ground.
Yeah.
Prior to everybody else.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like. Okay, cool.
Have y'all even spoken?
We'll take that off.
Okay.
All right. We'll take that off.
But that's who she is.
That is not, like, Charlotte, that is not true. I mean, it's like you 60% right.
That means I'm true. I'm right. What's what you mean?
I don't feel like that person I just was, you, okay, since you've never experienced this, there's always that, like, one or two people that you have, like, this huge crush on that's, like, head over heels. He was just one of them.
You had multiple head over heels?
Two. I've had two.
That's way too much.
So, but like his was like a whole nother extent because I'm like, whoa, I'm finna pop a baby soon. Oh, but that was different, right?
Jesus.
But like niggas in the past, it was kind of just like, sort of like right now, it's like, I'm a tough cookie. I just got to see like if you're really worth it. What Jamila saying? No, bitch. His dick wasn't. Because if it was, we would definitely be having a whole nother conversation right now, girl. I still would have been gunning for the nigga. I still would have been gunning for the nigga right now. Okay?
Oh my God, yo.
But I just feel like I'm the GOAT. I'm the GOAT.
Okay. Hey, if you say so, if you say it's because you have been smitten, I've never been smitten.
Okay. And see, that's the reason why I was acting the way I was acting. I've been smitten with this dude for 3 years.
Oh, hell no.
For 3 fucking years.
Wow.
And if y'all guys want the full story, y'all could go back to Love and Lust.
Yep, yep.
And watch that whole session that Shola and I did when I was making a decision. Which clearly was wrong.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you've been smitten before. That's crazy. I don't know what that feels like.
It's like,
nah, bro.
It's like you like Jello, but oh, like shit. It's like fun. Like I'm still smiling at the fact that like I was
one person. Me. Like just like you didn't have anything else going on.
No,
you was just that one person. You was just like, yeah, this is all I'm gunning for right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I ain't never done no dumb shit like that. That's just asking for a heartbreak.
But remember when we had that session? I was like, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But there was only a reason why I was back and forth.
I know that.
You know, yeah, that
I know that.
If that was taken out of the picture, like it wouldn't even be a thought process.
Jamila says, just because you're smitten don't mean you're not a goat. It takes more courage to be smitten or in love and show for them to pretend you don't have feelings. Listen, man, I'll show you that I got feelings, but I ain't gonna be smitten.
You always had some facade with the like.
No, I love love.
You just said earlier you ain't about the love.
No, I love love. When I see people who are in love, I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you because you are overjoyed when you were dealing with.
But you love seeing other people in love. We're talking about you loving being in love.
Yeah, I'm in love now. Am I not? I'm cooling. Y'all see me?
You always fucking cooling. I need you to take that out of your vocabulary.
Nah, I can't.
You're not cooling. You are in love.
I'm in love. I'm in love.
Bro. Okay, but you don't need to add the in cooling. I feel like you try to buffer it.
I gotta buffer it. I gotta damper it all the time.
No,
that keeps me in check.
No,
that keeps. I gotta.
So that's the dismissive avoidance in you. Yes, yeah. That style, that attachment style.
Probably
because you love it, but you kind of downplay it.
I have to downplay it.
Why do you have to downplay that you're in love with your wife?
No, I'm not downplaying I'm in love. I am in love with my wife. But at the same time, she knows how I deal with emotions. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am in love, but if I'm also always prepared. And she hates that side of me.
So when you say you're always like prepared for her to leave?
Anything. Like, I put scenarios already in my head just in case.
Oh my God, you're every fucking style on this list. Why are you doing that? She has shown more than enough that she's gonna be around.
Yeah. But
if she leaves, that's your fuck up.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that too.
That is the reaction.
And I'm well aware of that too. And I'm preparing for that too.
She's not going to just leave.
And I'm saying I'm well aware that I will most likely be the reason, but I'm prepared for that emotionally too. I prepare my emotions. I have to.
Why?
Because I got to keep going.
Why do you have to keep going?
Because stopping is not an option.
But what, like, where are we going?
Forward.
Forward into what?
Whatever is there, yo. I'm just jumping over the ledge. I'm just jumping over the ledge, yo.
This is why we need to stop, because we need to know why you're jumping over the ledge.
I'm just jumping over the ledge. I don't care about what's in my past. That's over with now. That's like all my exes and stuff. I don't even think about them.
So you would throw her in that category too?
It's over with. I'm good.
But y'all would marry, y'all had children.
Well, we have kids and stuff, but she's still my homie. She'll always still be my homie and stuff.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's fair.
That she always be my homie. I would never disrespect her. I would never like do anything like that. But if she's like, I don't know what to do with you like that anymore, boom, boom, I let her go. Fly.
You wouldn't feel an ounce of hurt.
There will be hurt there, but I'll take care of it and I just keep it moving.
What is take care of it?
I would feel it, but you wouldn't see it.
So how does Shola process hurt?
I just keep moving. I've been hurt a lot. I'm used to it. So it's a numb pain. I just gotta keep going. That's how I have always been. That's the truth. That's why you don't ever see me stop. That's why whatever you see me doing, I'm just constantly moving. I have to constantly keep moving. I cannot stop.
So do you feel like if you were to stop, you would have to process those feelings more than you actually do?
No, I process. It's just
I don't
not,
think you process.
No, I process. It's just in the way y'all don't process. Just the way y'all don't process. Like, for
But see,
y'all dwell in the pain. I can't dwell in that pain.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys sit in that pain.
Okay, that's fine. I get that part.
Yeah, I'm not
But I feel like you try to make it a point to keep going so you don't have to dwell in it. Because you probably would.
Yeah, because I've done that before and I'm good. I've experienced that. That's why I always tell people, feel the pain, go through it, but keep going. Because if you don't, you're going to sit in that shit. And that's a horrible place to be, because I've been there before.
How long were you in it?
A very long time. And I'm Gucci with that.
Was it a love loss?
No, hell no.
What was it?
It's filmy shit.
Okay.
Yeah, filmy shit. So, because of that, I'm not ever going to sit in pain ever again.
Real what? Red flags. Urban Collective, red flags.
What red flags?
Yes, I was just saying he needs to speak to somebody. So, I don't know. You know, Celeste posted that we were going to do this session. I don't know if she popped in or not, but like, girl, we need, like, you got insurance?
I'm fine.
Celeste needs to come and talk to you.
I'm fine.
No, I think there's some like underlining things there. And you know what? Like, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm a bad girl.
You're not terrifying me.
I'm not trying to do that to you.
Okay. All right.
But I'm starting to see some things.
Like?
That I'm like, oh, maybe you need to go sit some damn with somebody.
I'm
because it's like chug-a-lugging. So I didn't really want to put this out there. But I'm going to, because I feel like I need to do this in order to really effectively move on, right? So being pregnant last fall.
Oh, you doing that?
I'm going there.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It's been on my mind for so long that I got to do
it. I'm proud of you right now.
So being pregnant last fall and making the decision to term the pregnancy, I went to work the next day.
Mm. I know that. I know that one.
And I just... I just kept going, mm-hmm. right? I kept going. Then I had some family shit pop up, chuck through that. And then probably the last, like, what, maybe 2-3 months,
mm-hmm.
all of that shit that I did not process
fucked you all up.
Came hitting me like a ton of fucking bricks. Mm-hmm. And I've been slowly, like, trying to pull the bricks away.
Yeah.
And which is why I've been very silent on social media. I haven't really been going out a lot. Been really in a tough space.
Oh, I know.
I've been in a really tough space really been trying really, really hard to get out of that. And I felt like I had to say that because I was like one of the things that, because I share a lot. Like I talk a lot on my, you know, Instagram and stuff like that. And I felt like I've been holding back saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't made me fully been able to be like
cleansing.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I always felt like being on whatever platform, being able to talk to people, like, has always been therapeutic for me. And that has just been, like, hindering me from moving on. So I felt like I had to just say that. But in that same moment, when I told my therapist that I went to work the next day, she was like, red flags all over the place. She's like, what do you mean you just went to work? What do you mean you just kept going? Hold on a second. Was people with you when this happened? They didn't stop you from, like, so that's why I'm like, you not dwelling in your feelings is like red flaggy-ish. Okay. Because you're not supposed to just like leave it in the rearview mirror. You're supposed to kind of go through that.
No, but see, that's the thing. I've gone through those. I've gone through it. I've gone through all of it. You know, it had me in a dark space. What's up, Fuck Your Podcast? What's going on?
Hi, y'all. Wait, who's this? What? Show, you are such an African.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've gone through, you know, those downs in a way where I had to disappear myself.
Right.
You know, like I said, that's why when you were going through, as you're going through your shit, you notice how I've treated you.
Right.
You
didn't ghost me.
I didn't ghost you.
You didn't ghost me. I'm happy.
I didn't ghost you. Because I understood, especially I've been there when somebody, you know, went to get their abortion too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? More than once. So what I didn't do when I was younger, I try to make it up by being there, you know, being there as a friend for you, you know.
Which I have to say thank you for that, because like during that whole process, there was no one there.
Yeah.
So I kind of just, and she thought that was a red flag that I like was doing these big moments alone.
Yeah.
And I kind of was just like, for me, I'm just like,
this is what I do.
I got to get it done. Yeah. Like, I can't wait for somebody.
Yeah, no, you can't. And that's where I feel for me, like when I was going through my dark times, was almost over a decade, like most of my life.
Right.
So as an adult now, like you guys have seen a happy go jolly person, but I wasn't always this happy go jolly. You know, I was a very dark, depressed, angry young man. You know what I'm saying? But I used to write poetry heavy. My poetry was devious. You know, it was a lot of dark shit. You know?
I need you to bring that back. I need you to get in your poetry bag.
You know, it was a lot of
dark. You're really good at that.
Yeah, when I'm upset. Because that's when the feeling, that's when the emotions pile in. Okay. You know, but that's why I say, like, the fact that I'm just moving now, I've realized when I'm constantly moving, I'm still processing, but it's not piling up in me. I'm not just, I have all the things that I'm doing. So, like, okay.
So you're dispersing the
energy. Exactly. Okay. So it's allowing me to focus on the anger and then the frustration that I'm going through inside. I'm putting that focus into other things.
Right.
So instead of letting that anger sit in me, because I can become a very angry person, and the angry Shola is not somebody that I don't want to show nobody. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to show nobody that. That's not a side of me that's, you know, presentable.
Right.
Because it's just a mess. It's just a mess.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's just a mess.
And you don't want people to see that.
No, I don't want nobody to see
that. So you become a recluse. Yeah. That's like, that was me.
Exactly. So, you know, for everybody that's going through something, like, that's my way of dealing with stuff now. You know, as an adult, I know everybody's talking about seeing a therapist and all that. I read constantly. You know, that's why I listen to Wallow 267. That's why I post them time to time, because those things, those affirmations and stuff, help me daily.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wake up every day and I'm just like, gotta go.
Right.
You know, throughout the 8 hours I'm at work, I'm listening to music. But in that time frame, I'm also processing what's bothering me or whatever, you know, issues I'm having. So that when I go home or I have to see that person or deal with the situation, I'm clear-headed. I'm not moving off emotion.
Okay.
You know, that's what I mean by I check my emotions. Because if I move off emotion only, it's a wrap for everything.
Right.
I'm just going to destroy everything in my back. You know.
I think that's what I do. And then I tend to, like, not maintain certain relationships because I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I just come and I fucking, when you want goat, fuck with me. You get goat and I'm ripping your head off.
Yeah. There's no balance to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even, I'll be honest with y'all, yo. When she's coming out of this shit right here, I've barely spoken to her.
Yo, which is like, I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm barely spoken to her. I'm kind of like, before I used to check on her constantly and all that, but then I was like, you know what? This is now I can fall back because you gotta go through, you gotta now check it on your own.
Right, but I was like, really, my nigga? Like,
yeah.
Like all last week too. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Like, it's Wednesday. Nigga don't even like, oh, it's good. Like, nothing. I'm like, okay.
Cause you broke, cause I'm like, I can't.
Then you roll up in here on Saturday on some like, hey, what's up? Just saying hi. And I'm like, really? Like, we ain't getting no kick. Yeah, like, I ain't seen you in weeks.
Hey, you grown. So
that's crazy.
I babied you. I don't mind.
Well, I'm the baby in the family. I'm always going to want to be baby. So it's like, you can't just stop babying me.
That's what I do. That's my job.
Well, this is why I need a man.
That's my job. Like, I can't. You know, it's like, how long am I going to baby you, son? That's like Maul said. If a nigga break up, you get a week. That's it. I don't want to hear about you crying about your bitch no more, my nigga.
You got a week
to cry on.
But what if that love was so deep it takes a month?
Don't talk about her in front of me, my nigga.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
don't talk about her in front of me, my nigga.
Well, thank God I'm not that emotional because I would have been crying about that nigga for the longest.
Well, Shorty's is different. We know how long y'all take, but a dude, like, all right, so one of my mans went through that and he was butthurt. You know what I'm saying? And if I was younger... If I was younger, I definitely would have been a dick to him. Uh-huh. I'd have been like, my nigga, it's just pussy, my nigga. Like, keep it moving, bro. You be all right. Go get some ass. Matter of fact, let's go. I got you a shorty right now. It's going to lay it down for you. You know what I'm saying? But it happened to us when it happened to him when we're 25, when we're over 25. So my approach was different.
Okay.
Because I understood, like, yo, he was with this person for a long time.
Right.
Like,
investing time.
That's why I understand now how to deal with adults, you know what I'm saying? Because I realize everybody's investing time. Time is worth something to us now.
Right.
So when he was going through that, you know, sit there, talk to him, let him vent, we just kind of parlayed and everything like that. I was more gentle than I ever been with a man in my entire life. Just because as a man, we're not taught to just talk to our boys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
So talking to him, I was just like, yo, you good, bro? He's like, nah, I ain't really good, bro. Like, this is making me, you know, reassess who I am and all that stuff. And I was like, all right, just talk it out. I've never done that to anybody before. He's the first person I was like, all right, cool. Holla at me. What's going on? You know?
Growth, man.
And the entire time, I'm listening, and my inner side is like, this soft ass nigga right here, dog.
Sure.
That's why I was saying inside. But then the other side, the mature side of me, was like, damn, he was in love with Shorty too. That's crazy, yo. Like, wow.
That's why he's that emotional.
And that's why I said I understood that. I was like, all right, I have to be there emotionally for my mans right now, you know. But at some point, you got to move on. Not even move on as in go find a new girl or anything like that, but
yeah,
start
to move
to,
on from the situation.
Yeah, like start
that's,
trying
that
to.
That shit's hard. That shit's real fucking hard.
I've always been a nigga like, yo, if a shorty's done with me, that's why I always believe in getting a stable. You never want to have a closed door. You got to have multiples because then if one shorty's out the pocket, you got a couple more that you don't even have to think about shorty that left. You don't have to think about missing it because you still
so
got
I
that.
So I call them bench women.
Yeah.
I'm at that.
Yeah.
And then you got some bench women.
Exactly. Because now
I have no one on the field. I have no one in the bench.
You know what's funny? If shit was to go sour with me and Shorty right now, I'm a rap out here, okay? I'm like, damn, how am I going to get my dick sucked this week? Like, damn, nigga.
Yo, this is terrifying.
I'd be
so sad.
Mad, yo.
It's so sad.
I think that's what would make me mad. I'd be like, yo, so we ain't fucking no more? Like, let me just gauge where our relationship is at now. You know what I'm saying? That'd be my question. I'd be like, yo, I know we're done, you know, with the relationship, but is sex out of the question, too? And then she's like, yeah, that might be when I'll go. Yo, hold on. Let's talk about this.
You know what? The Harlem nigga did that to me. He did that to me because we were supposed to break up. He was like, so like, that means me.
We ain't doing that.
I'm like, that's I'm like, you breaking up with me, nigga? Like, yeah, like, obviously.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, like, nah, nah.
Niggas.
I'm like, y'all niggas are fucking joke.
Yo, because it's like, that was your only thing you were dealing with. Like, niggas don't want to really want to go back out here and how I did so this, how to build and be like, first of all, which is why I
use your words wisely.
Wisely right now.
I already cut you the eye real quick because I knew where you're going.
Which is why I'm constantly sharpening my knife. Making sure that I'm still hip to the game. Mm. I still know what's going on out here. Mm. I'm peeping everything. I'm making
sure. So you know how to move accordingly.
I know how to move accordingly. You can't just be oblivious. You know, I'm like, all right, cool.
Yo, I hope your wife is not on this live tonight, okay?
She knows. Matter of fact, she's helped me peep how y'all ladies move. Because before, you know what I'm saying? Before, when I was in the game, I never really cared how y'all moved because I already thought 10 steps ahead.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Now that I'm not, I don't need to worry about smashing you or get you to do anything for me. It's different for me. I'm just approaching you with nothing. I have blinders on. I'm not.
Right.
I don't know what your feelings are. I'm not feeling the vibe of what you're doing. Nothing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So she's like, nah, when shorty stop doing this, that, and the third.
I mean, there's been times I've had to do that to you too. I'm like, yo, she's using red hearts. She ain't using purple ones. Like, so, you know.
See, all that don't mean nothing to me.
Or she used the upside down smiley, but she used three instead of one.
See, I never done none of that stuff would have meant nothing to me. I used to be like, all right, cool.
Also know too, being in the game 10 years ago was different than it is now.
And that's why I know I'm an old nigga now. Exactly. Because I realize when I'm hearing ladies talk, women talk about, you know, I just wanna come home and just have a nice conversation. And I'm like, no nigga I know wants to come home after long days of work and have an in-depth conversation about the bullshit that's going on outside.
Niggas just
want to chill. Let me take a shower. Let me chill for a minute. 3 hours. Let me chill. And then
it's time to go to bed.
That's it.
You can hear me talk about it in bed. Like, what's the point?
That's cool. We in bed. That means most likely I'll be knocking out in about 10 minutes.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm just giving it a buck.
So I'm just going to call you on the way home. On the way home, I'm going to call you.
That's cool. See, now you understand.
I get it.
Now you understand.
The last time you come home, I ain't got to say shit to you.
Nah, you just like, how was your day? You were cooling? You was all right? I bet. You know what I'm saying? Watch my TV. Let me just cool out. Do what I got to do. And, you know, you got a funny story, I'm with it. You got jokes to tell? I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Shorty got something to tell me, she's like, yo, I got to tell you this. And we sit there and we start gossiping. I'm like, oh, word? All of that shit? Damn. Like, yo, I get my, you know what I'm saying? I get comfortable and I sit there and listen. Because it's entertaining. If you get entertaining, word, I'm with it. Entertaining. You know what I'm
saying? I will keep that in mind for whatever future.
But you got to have a nigga. You got to also have a nigga that's not going to run his mouth.
How do you find one of those? Because all y'all run your mouth.
No. Whoa.
I'm going to be honest. I think niggas gossip more than girls do.
Whoa.
I really think niggas gossip more than girls.
Sucker ass niggas gossip.
Niggas gossip.
Nah, because
we're not gonna put them in little categories.
Nah, because I don't gossip.
Niggas gossip.
I don't gossip. Who do I gossip with? You tell me some shit, we go off on it. But it doesn't leave.
See, fuck your podcast. Yep, they agree.
But it doesn't leave our conversation.
Yes, they do. Jamil is telling me that, and Urban Collective. Come on.
Wow.
Niggas gossip more than girls do.
And that's all you niggas will be pillow talking. Y'all got to cut that shit out. Like, I've never done that. Whatever a shorty told me, she told me, and I kept it moving. You know what I'm saying? We gossip all day. You don't ever heard me say nothing.
Never. If you guys want to catch the rest of this conversation, y'all better move it to fucking YouTube because we're cutting off in 4 seconds.
Yeah, this one over at PS Live Session is going off in 5 seconds. So join us on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I've never You know I don't gossip. And then we share it, right?
Yeah. Boom.
So you know me gossiping, it doesn't happen. It's only with close friends that I know that keep their mouths shut. That's it. Whatever's going on out here, we find out, we talk about it, and it stays right where it's at. Same thing with her. Same thing with my niggas. That's why when my niggas talk to me.
Your niggas?
With my niggas. But they come to me. They barely know anything about me.
Okay. Niggas?
But
they're gossipers.
They my gossip.
Because let me tell you something. I know my business was put out in the street with your niggas.
That got nothing to do with me, yo.
Okay. My business was put out, who I was fucking and sucking and all of that good jazz.
That has nothing to do with me. That's your fault for fucking with them niggas. Because you knew better.
Did I know better?
Hey, I was watching all y'all like, wow.
I didn't know better. Your niggas, they gossip a lot.
First of all, don't talk shit about my niggas with me right here.
Okay. And then that's me keeping it a buck. Your niggas gossip a lot. And then that's how come the nigga from Harlem, like, knew some shit or thought some shit or like whatever the case
was. But that had nothing to do with me. I wasn't involved.
I didn't say he was involved. Exactly. I'm just letting you know that was the day that it confirmed for me that niggas talk hella shit.
And you know why niggas
people gossip, period. Urban Collective, people gossip, period.
People gossip, period. But there should be, what am I trying to say?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
CONFIDENTIAL.
Confidential?
There we go.
And honestly, I was like, damn, I need a pen. Because I was like, throw away, you were going with that pen.
This should be confidentiality. That's the word. Between
I'm still fucking it up. Confidentiality.
There you go. Whatever that word is. Whatever it is. Y'all know what it is. Yo, fuck y'all. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what it is. But yeah. If you know me, you know my mouth is shut. You can tell me whatever. I keep my mouth shut. I just go, oh, word. That's crazy. You know, I just keep it moving. My niggas will tell me. My niggas will tell me shit. And I'm going, wow. Y'all did all of that. I don't know nothing now. And then in one ear out the other, just like, we jump something, in one ear, somebody asks you something, I don't know nothing, bro.
Nah, but we be gossiping. Like we two kids in the school bus.
No, that's because we know we ain't telling them. We close, let's be honest. Best friends, close friends,
always.
You have to. That's part of friendship. Like, that's part of friendship.
Yo, that's why sometimes when people tell me, they're like, yo, you can't say, I'm like, you already know I'm going to talk to you. Joel's gonna know, which means extended. His wife is gonna know, so the four of us is gonna know this shit.
No, I don't tell. I don't tell. If it's something personal, I'm not saying that, and she knows that. Just like whatever she tells me, don't really leave unless it's like I know it's not that serious.
Right.
But if it's something family or it's too close or anything, no, that stays right here. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. If somebody outside that I don't know that well tells me something. Like people have in the game, like a nigga knows shit now. A nigga knows shit, and I'm just like when I see them now. So when I see them, I'm just like, wow. It's like okay, you know. But I'm not gonna say nothing. That got nothing to do with me.
Not your ministry.
Not my ministry.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, listen, that's not my ministry.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why you friends. As long as it stays between us two.
Yeah, I got nothing. Nope. My niggas can tell me whatever they want. Shorties can tell me whatever they want. I'm not telling nobody nothing. That's why they call me the vault. Because I got secrets upon secrets. And I'm just chilling. So, and then that's why I said I never worried about my shit coming out. Because if my shit comes out, my nigga, just know I am letting off on all your shit too. I don't care if I'm going down. Everybody's going down.
Damn, it's like that.
Why is this on me?
That's kind of crazy.
That's crazy, exactly.
I think you should try to like pinpoint
certain
things and not blast the whole situation.
Nah, if somebody I know rats on me off some bullshit, on some emotional bullshit, my nigga, I am now gonna castrate your entire life because you fucked up. Yeah.
But what if it's something that's like not even that serious?
Nah, don't open your mouth, period. My nigga, there's no denial. Snitching is snitching. Don't say nothing.
I agree. I just kind of
want to make sure we all,
everybody on the same page.
Nah, you can't say nothing, bro. That's rules and regulations. I am sticking to it. I'm saying, especially if you know what it can do, because it's a trickle down effect for everybody.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? You got to really, that's why I always say you got to think 10 steps ahead. This whole thing is a chess game.
But some people like to give you like facades though. Like someone that you think that like, yo, you know what? Like I've known this person long enough to be able to have these conversations or to say certain things. And then they like flip. So it's like, how do you stay 10 steps ahead of someone that you don't think would
now
obviously do something like that?
That's why now that we're in this media game, it's just perfect for me. Because at the end of the day, I know how they move. Like, it's, everybody's just trying to pull information. Right. That's it. Niggas is just talking. What's going
on? And at the end of the day, you will know who you can talk to. Yeah. You got to set the tone.
You got to set it. So where people who are now comfortable with me as telling me stuff, I'm cool with that. That you are comfortable enough to tell me stuff. I am not. I don't know you like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care. I
noticed that. Like, people will get super comfortable with saying things, and I'm like, oh, nigga, I just met you 2 months ago.
Like, like, whoa. Where did this come
a couple episodes together. Yeah. I don't mean like me, nigga.
Like, if we're talking about bitches and stuff, I don't care. I can be like, yeah, I'm going to snatch that. That's crazy. That shit don't mean nothing to me. Because my show, you know, I talk like that anyways.
Right.
So you can't say that. But on some real in-depth shit, going, nah.
But Shola, I also think, too, that people just, like, find us like really easy to talk to. Like,
it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah. We're not like,
we don't
listen, I had somebody tell me that like he enjoys watching animal porn. So it's like, like, okay. Like,
no judgment, my nigga.
Out of nowhere in a conversation, he just told me like, yo, I'm really into like looking up horses fucking women. And I just was like, live your life.
Live your life.
Like what am I supposed to say to that? Okay, that's how comfortable he felt with me. But like, obviously, he follows me on Instagram. He sees me around and stuff. So it's like, he knows, you know, that I talk about sex and all of that stuff. So I feel like he just felt comfortable enough to tell me that.
He did, yeah. And you can't just look at him and go, all right, cool, bet, bro.
Yeah, and you just, so I think people just find is very comfortable to
and don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, everybody. We welcome on that. We appreciate that. I mean, you guys trust us, and we like that also. But just know, for us, we ain't like that because we're from a different era.
And like you said,
yo,
that's too much.
Yo, I'd be like, word, that's crazy, bro. All right, fam. I can easily say I've looked up tranny porn and all that shit too. But
bro,
you can't use that word.
You can't use tranny.
What am I supposed to say?
That's an offensive word.
Oh, transgender?
Yes, you need to say the full thing. That's a slur.
Oh, it's a slur now.
Yeah.
Okay, transgender then. My bad. I apologize. I'm still.
Bro, I can't even front. I be watching that shit too. But like, it gotta be like the ones that have the penis that's fucking a girl.
Yeah. I can't do the dude shit. Yo, when I see a nigga sucking a dick, I'm like, yo, whoa, time out. My nigga, what are you doing? Like, time out. Whoa.
I think I would do one. I think I would do a transgender. I feel like I would get both the best of both worlds. So, like, on women, I, like, really enjoy their breasts. So, ooh, that's, like, the best of both worlds for me.
And their breasts be perky as
crazy, right? Yo. So, I feel like I would give that a shot.
Yo, if you do that, let me know.
Let me know how that goes.
Let me know how that goes, yo. Oh, shit.
Like, wait, this just went so left. Like, so quick.
Oh, shit.
Damn, I miss y'all so much. Gemma said, but would you really? Yes, I would. What if the breasts weren't as smooth? What do you mean by if they weren't as smooth? See, that guy brought up that horse story. See how that guy brought up that horse story. This convert took a turn.
Yo, welcome to PS Live Sessions, nigga.
Oh, what if they aren't as soft? Yeah, I mean.
Because it all depends if they had a change or if this.
Some of them don't have, they don't have the sex change, but they get implants. Like Caitlyn Jenner probably didn't do the surgery.
He just got
the breasts. So, like, I don't know. It would depend.
But he's still fucking shorties.
Yeah, so he didn't even get the surgery. So he's definitely...
So what does that make him still? He's still a transgender?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know the rules, man. I'm just like, all right, cool. Whatever you tell me. Whatever you say, man.
Oh, if it feels like silicone-y, I've never had dealt with anyone with silicone breast, period. So
he did get it done?
No, he did get it. Oh, so he's
a woman?
So he cut the peen off? Well, I don't see now. That's a good question. I've never touched a silicone breast though, so I don't.
Oh, I have.
Like, is it any different from a regular one?
Yeah. So, because it could be either really firm or it can still have a little squish to it.
I need the squish.
You know what I'm saying?
I need the squish in my life. I can't have it silicone-y.
What?
I have their weird. Don't ask.
That's silicone-y boobies. Wow.
Okay, so I can't do the silicone.
You want the little squid, the squishy, the little squishiness.
I don't really like big tits either.
Oh, like the nice little small.
Yes, like that are like they're a handful. That's what I really enjoy. But I like big nipples.
Like hentai type nipples?
Yeah. Bro, let me tell you. You don't want to see my history.
Wow.
You know what? I don't even really have one because I have to switch. Because I watch a lot of porn on my phone. So I have to go and switch it to the private mode so it doesn't keep anything in the cache history.
I don't
even
give a fuck.
Okay? So I have to do that. And then sometimes I be tight because I don't text the link to myself. So I be like, damn, where is that one?
Oh, you like to go back to shit.
I like to go back to shit.
I get bored and I need something newer.
You sent me weird clips from Twitter that I'm like, whoa, this is too extreme.
I get
for me.
Bored. Yo,
you watch a lot of weird stuff.
I get bored. I need something new every time. Like, oh, I'm used to this now. Boom, my brain goes next. What? I'm like trying to push the limit to see what I can't do.
Hold on. But when you're watching the porn, is it more so to like be enticed and aroused, or is it more so you're just like looking to see what the fuck people are doing out there?
Both.
Okay.
Both. It's all adventure.
So then why do you feel like you can't revisit certain stuff?
Because I'm bored with it. My body won't react to it.
So you are looking to be aroused.
I just said both, didn't I?
But which one though? Because I feel like you're looking for it to be more aroused than to just see what people are doing.
Yes, I want to see if it arouses me, it's gonna make me want to try it.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I'm like, ooh, okay. Let me see if I can fuck it. I can fuck with that. See how if I can pull that off. That's it. That's it. I might have a porn problem. I don't care. I've been watching porn for a long time. So legit. In the morning, I'm on the train.
But yeah, you got a whole nother problem. That's not my morning coffee.
I might sometimes be driving.
That's your morning coffee.
Yeah.
Yes, Jamila, big nipples. Do you know any girls with them?
I do know a lot of girls with big nipples.
Most that have touched are hard. Damn, so I don't want no silicone-y tits.
Nah, there's mad girls out here with soft breast implants.
Well, they have big nipples.
They do have big nipples. I mean, I'm not like cool with them like I used to be.
It's all right.
In
due time, I'm not really searching for them, but
I'm just saying.
If it so happens that I run into one, I'll try it, but whatever.
Nah, make that happen. Yo, make that happen. But I feel... I need all my vices. I've tried to get, I think the longest I've gone without watching porn is this past month. And it was literally a whole month that I didn't watch any porn.
Why? Because you're just too busy or you just was like,
No. I just wanted to see what the effect would be for me.
And what was the outcome?
I was constantly on Crystal. Constantly, because I just could not. I needed it ASAP.
So how did Crystal feel about that? Because it's now a switch that you're like now constantly on her every 2 seconds because you didn't have that balance.
She's my bitch. She knows what's up.
Is Crystal in the chat?
She knows what's up.
Speak up, girl.
She knows what's up. But I go through. Everybody that's been in a relationship. Married or whatever it is, don't y'all go through like certain times where you're like, yo, you just need that shit every day type shit?
Uh-huh.
Don't you go through that?
Yeah.
That was my like, I need that shit every day type shit.
And then now it's just like not there.
No, it's still there. It's still there. It's just I can tone it down. All right, cool. Like I started watching porn again last week. You know what I'm saying? So
this is like offsetting.
It's offsetting the energies. Yeah. It's offsetting the energies. I don't have to.
Yeah.
I can give her body a break.
I literally just like feel like I learned something new every session with you.
Hey, it's a lot of work.
Crystal, I sent up a prayer, okay? Because girl, I just don't even understand. I just don't get it.
I've always been like that. I don't know what it is.
What's your top two searched porn?
Top two searched. Homegrown. And
you mean like amateur?
Amateur.
Okay.
Yeah. I love it. I don't like porn stars. It's just too fake for me.
Yeah, some of them I'm like,
yeah, I swipe left.
What's going on?
Yeah, I need that real shit. I need the bad angles.
Bro, okay. Let me tell you something.
The bad
so
angles.
I've been watching a lot of homegrown stuff lately. But like the porn that I search is lesbian porn. I'm not like, sometimes I can't do like the heterosexual porn. I don't know. It's just like, sometimes he ain't fucking her right. He ain't eating her right.
Yo,
like, it's just, sometimes it's
yo,
like, it's
I ain't
not.
Front. Sometimes I do that. I be judging a nigga. I'm like, you have all this ass.
You
slow stroking this bitch. Right. She's over there going,
Right. It's like, what? I can't. It's just like, I feel like it's just too much fake shit.
Yeah.
Like, y'all. I can't believe I'm about to say this. But like I've been searching homegrown big clits.
Wow. I ain't never even searched that. I'm about to search that.
Yeah, let me tell you something. When these bitches fucking nut, or if they squirt, it's a
tsunami. Jesus Christ.
I have like this one thumbnail image in my head right now. I don't know how we just went to this from secure attachments.
It's been a while since we spoke to each other.
Oh my God. Whose fault is that though?
That's yours, not mine.
Definitely your fault. We won't even go there anymore.
You good?
Oh my God.
Google gay porn. Oh, I've done that, been there. It ain't that serious.
No, you know, compilation porn is the way to go.
I can't do compilation porn. And I see.
No, I can't either because I be tight. Like sometimes they cut it off.
Yeah,
when it's getting good, and then it's like next scene.
I can't do that shit, man.
So then now I have to go find that original.
Yeah, I don't have time for that, man. I can't do compilation porn. You play with my emotions, bro. I can't. We're in this together. You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta go down this rabbit hole together, man. I'm not doing that.
Gay porn is interesting. I will say that. I have searched that because sometimes I'm just like...
What kind of gay porn?
What do you mean, what kind of gay porn?
Is it interracial gay porn? Is it?
I mean, yeah. Sometimes I just peruse everything. I'm watching midgets fuck.
Oh, all day long.
I'm watching everything.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, I even after the nigga told me, I went and Googled some horses fucking some bitches.
Check it out.
I had to just see what was so enticing by that. Then I got into the dog. It got crazy.
The dog short. Oh
it got crazy,
God.
And I had to go. Yeah. But you know, gay porn is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not really into it, and I'm not into the bisexual ones either. When it's like two guys and a girl, like I'm not really into that.
Yo, fam, if there's a shorty there, and both of y'all are sucking other niggas' dick, that's just wild crazy.
Yo, I've watched a couple of that though. That's insane.
Like the cuckold, I love. Okay, so my two favorite ones is cuckold. I love cuckolding. I don't know what it is about cuckolding that I'm into. You know what I'm saying? That shit is wild crazy to me. And I'm just like, wow. You like, I think it's fascinating that another nigga is fucking this dude's shorty, and he's getting off to it. And she's telling him, come lick his cum out. And he's doing it. Like, those are the rules of their situation.
Ah.
I'm like, wow, bro. You are wild right now. Like, I don't mind.
Send me that link. I want to see that.
I got you. I got you. I know exactly where I got you. But it's just like, fam, I don't, like, niggas don't even want to touch their own sperm. And you over here looking at another man's?
Hold on. So let's pause, put a pin on it right there. That really gets me fucking tight.
What?
That gets me really fucking tight that y'all niggas don't be liking y'all own sperm. Because if you eat me out, Then you like, ooh, you trying to kiss me or like have me like taste myself, which apparently I have no problems with. But like, if I go to second date, like I should be able to.
You should be able to kiss
me. I'm like, I'm not.
Wait,
spitting the sperm
wait,
in your
wait,
mouth.
Wait. Now there's rules and regulations to that. If we're not together and we're not monogamous or whatever it is, I don't know what else you fucking with. You definitely can't kiss me after you suck my dick. Because I don't know where your mouth has been. Yes, it's been on
my dick. It's just been on your dick.
But you could have sucked another nigga's dick too. Like, come on, son.
We're all adults. Like, how many pussies have you been in?
Look, I feel you, but I don't eat vagina like that. That's a rule. That's a rule. Crazy. That's a rule. Like, you just can't be eating vaginas.
Okay, you can't be sucking dicks like that neither.
Hey, but nowadays, y'all new people doing all the rules and regulations. That's why y'all be getting shit in your mouth. But, you know, that's besides the point. But if we're dealing with each other on a regular basis or whatever, if you suck on my dick, yes, you can come up and kiss me. You can be all sloppy with that shit, but that shit on my face. I don't give a fuck.
See, niggas are not like that.
Oh, niggas are children.
Like,
you know? Niggas
are even children, if you're in something, like, nah, what you do? Like, that's
if I eat your vagina, I am coming up wet as fuck and licking your
and
face.
And I'm expecting that. I am expecting that, like, if my man's going to do that and be nasty like that, like, I'm expecting that. So it's like, I should be able to do the same in return.
Yeah, no, that's fine. If we're dealing with each other on a regular basis. If it's once in a while, nah, I can't do that because I don't know where y'all are on your track record. I don't know, because I'm not asking you, I'm going to be having sex with this month.
Or this week. This month or this week?
This week? I'm not asking no questions. I've never asked a girl how many people you slept with this week. That's crazy. Because I don't want you to ask me. Don't ask me shit, bitch.
That's how I feel, too.
Don't ask me nothing.
Like, like, when people ask about how many, like,
bodies,
partner, I'm like,
and then your business.
I am not 12.
Yeah, don't ask me nothing. That's none of your business. No, I don't understand. We are all over 30, so we got bodies.
But, you know, there are some prudes. I know some prudes.
Keep your prude ass over there, then.
I know some prudes.
Keep your prude ass over
there. And I ain't even trying to encourage her to be nasty.
Let me hit once, but, you know, keep your prude ass over there. I be
encouraging her, and she just can't.
She can't get it. She can't do it.
But she was a nurse. And she's like, yo, you know the type of the stuff that I see?
Oh, that's because of why she's traumatized from work.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's traumatized from work. That's different. Yeah, yeah. I know a couple of nurses like that.
Yeah.
They're traumatized from work.
Absolutely not.
But nurses be nasty. So, this was a great episode. I almost caught myself. I had to catch myself. You know, it's all past tense anyways. It don't matter. This is all old history, you know. But thank you guys for joining us on this episode. I want to give a little quick brief of what we learned about each other today, about the secure attachment.
That you, like, were running amok, like, from 0 to 5?
Yeah.
And, like, I get it, because I guess, like, kids in third world countries, that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Like, kids in Haiti were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I got dragged by a goat doing that. So,
it's all a blur, because they just let us run wild.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't want to joke with the bullshit. They're like, yo, listen, nigga, just
be home by Sunday.
Yeah. that is it. You know, and you're going to learn to, you're dealing with your situation. You're getting better.
Am I?
You're here today. Yo, listen, she hit me up. She was like, yo, you want to do a PS? I was like, I'll be waiting on you. You know, I was like, whenever you're ready. And then she sent me this. I was like, all right, cool. Mind you, this was 3 weeks ago. Okay, this was 3 weeks ago that we were planning to do this. And she's like, yeah, next week. I was like, all right, cool, bet. No problem. Then the next week after that, you know, we got you guys. And I see we got you. Thank you for, you know, welcoming us back. You know, at the end of the day, if we're not here, DM her. Just this person right here. Y'all know I'm always on deck. I'm always ready.
I was going through a tough time.
She was.
I was really trying to get it together.
Yeah. Show them the shirt.
And you know, I'm trying to get back in it.
Yeah.
You know, but we're good. There's gonna be more sessions.
And we're gonna.
I got a few more bricks to get through, but we Gucci now.
And
there'll be more sessions.
Do you want to tell them about the next topic we're gonna talk about?
We're gonna talk about the 5 love languages, and this will be led by Shola.
Yeah, so I got some homework to do, you know, so that's what we're going to be talking about, love languages, and
We pop up on y'all niggas, so don't ask for no dates.
Yeah, we're just going to let y'all know. At least we'll give y'all Friday. We give it to y'all on a Friday, we'll let y'all know that we're coming either the next Monday or Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? Normally we do it on Tuesday.
Thank you.
So what she said?
She said, glad you're feeling better. Thank you.
Yeah, me too.
It took me a while. It's been like 3 months.
Yo.
It's been hard.
Tumultuous. Okay. All right. Y'all know listen.
But I'm back in the game and I'm being more social on social media. And now,
I saw that you deleted everything.
I did.
Yeah. I've been seeing you. I just like, you know, gotta let you rock. I like, oh, she's going through her little faces.
Somebody asked me if I blocked them, because when you block people, you can't see their pictures. And I'm like, no. I was like, I just had a moment. And I was like, I just have to get rid of everything and start over.
We also have to talk about that too. Like, how social media has affected you.
Yeah, that was a problem too. So yeah. I had to be off of social media for a while. And so now I'm like creeping back into it. And then I'm trying to be more social, like go out to things.
You know, you see that we out here?
That's a problem.
I don't like show it only lasts a week.
We all have our moments. I'm like, show it only lasts a week. Yes, Jamila, you can DM me. So now if you go out.
Oh, I can hit you up now?
You can hit me. But like, don't hit me up to go. You know,
I know.
Like, why you drag me out to this one? But like, yeah, I'm trying to like be more social.
Okay.
I know one event that I am absolutely going to be at.
Okay.
Is Duce Palooza, whenever they hit Boston.
Oh, they come to Boston. We there.
So oh. I will be there.
Yo, NIC. I don't know if the tickets are sold out yet, but I'm going to the Millie's concert, the Millie's tour, Millie's concert over at the, Boston Music in Brighton. If the tickets are still there, check, try to get them, bro. Let's go check that out. So.
And yeah, so that's where I'm at. So I'm hoping to get back to the fun, Patricia.
I have my partner back.
You have your partner back. You have your work wife back.
All right, work. It's about time, yo. I've been lonely as fuck out here, yo.
I've been lonely too, but I just haven't had the like, yo, even to get up to brush my teeth with the task. Yeah. Like, it was just like, I just don't want to move. Like, doing any type of work was a lot.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Are they sold out? Damn, bro. The Millie's concert. I'm actually taking Crystal to that. So hopefully she likes it.
Did you tell Crystal about our concert?
What concert?
Yes, Jamila girl. Just DM me. We set that up, bro.
What concert are we going to?
Because you make my first play. You ain't tell her about that, did you?
Nah, I ain't tell. I don't even know what you're talking about. I forgot.
Wow, I fucking told you about the Tyler the Creator. And you was like, yo, I'm
Tyler the Creator. Yeah,
sold out. It don't even matter.
What is it? Listen, guys. I told them my memory's trash. Okay. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. We're going to holla at y'all and we'll see y'all soon. Holla.
Meow. She's tired.